Would you turn to 2 Kings chapter 14? I'm just going to read one verse, and it's where Jonah is mentioned. And from there, we're going to spend the next 3 or 4 weeks in the book of Jonah. 2 Kings 14. Verse 23, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria. And he reigned 41 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. But then it speaks of the good things he did. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah. That's the same Jonah that was swallowed by the whale. The son of Amittai, the prophet which was of Gath-hepher. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence in Christ's name. And we ask in his name that you would be pleased to meet with us and to speak in power to our hearts from your word. Enable us to worship thy dear son. Enable us to believe on thy dear son. Teach us what it is to glory in his cross. Lord, we confess our sins. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing, and how we thank you for the forgiveness of sins. How we thank you for our acceptance in the Beloved. Cause your gospel to be preached for the glory of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now would you turn to the book of Jonah. Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah. Now just read where Jonah is mentioned in the Kings, and this is actually the only time in the scriptures that he is mentioned other than the book of Jonah. And the Lord, if you're at Jonah 1, hold your finger there and turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. The Lord speaks of Jonah, beginning in verse 38, Matthew chapter 12, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. We want some kind of proof that could verify that you are who you say you are. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now here he's mentioned by the Lord himself. Some people have said, well, Jonah was not real. Yeah, he was. The Lord spoke of him. And somebody says, well, did he literally stay in a whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights? Yes, he did. How? I don't understand. It's a miracle. How the acid juices didn't burn him up, how he was able to breathe during that time, I don't understand. It was a miracle, but the Lord said it literally happened. And I love this sign of Jonah, 3 days in, 3 days out. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord's still dead, there's nothing to the gospel. But he's risen indeed, and that's why we believe the gospel of his grace. We're so thankful for that. Now, Jonah's name means dove. Now, you think of the way the dove is used in the scriptures. First time the dove is used is, remember, Noah's Ark. The dove came out. He sent a raven and a dove. The raven never came back because a raven can eat on carrion. He can eat on dead, rotten stuff that the dove couldn't eat on. A natural man can live off the carrion of
false religion. A true believer can't. A dove was also used for the poor. They couldn't afford a lamb. They would sacrifice a dove. That's something everyone could afford. And a dove is the symbol of peace. And I love the way the gospel is the gospel of peace. Now, Jonah was a prophet, and one could say he was not a very nice man. He disobeyed God right at the beginning. God tells him to go to Nineveh, that great city, and he goes in the opposite direction. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. And I can give you two reasons why. Number one, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and it was a Gentile city, and he hated Gentiles, like all Jews do. He didn't want to see God's mercy toward the Gentiles. Look in chapter 4. This is after God had mercy on Nineveh, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, I want you to think about that. He was mad at the Lord because he had mercy on Nineveh. He was angry, and he prayed in the Lord and said, I pray. And he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He was upset that the Lord did that because he hated the Gentiles. Somebody says, well, how could that happen? Well, why did Peter have such a hard time loving Gentiles? I think of that passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 11 where they confronted him about going into the house of Cornelius. And Peter said, well, who is I that I could withstood God? I wouldn't have done it, but the Lord did this. He caused this to take place, and I was not necessarily in agreement with it. What could I do about it? The Lord sent me to these Gentiles. And so he was also upset because he knew it would make him look bad. God said, you're all going to be destroyed. You had mercy on them, and it makes me look bad. What I said did not take place. I was saying you were going to destroy them, and here you didn't, and now look at me. So he was what somebody called the peevish prophet, and I would agree with that. He's not really a very nice guy. I'm thankful the Lord saves people like that, aren't you? But he was a prophet of God. Now, let's look at this, first of all, this first chapter of Jonah, and we're given a beautiful type of Christ in this first chapter. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now the Lord speaks. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. And I'm so thankful the Lord speaks. You know, first of all, he speaks by nature. All you have to do is look at this world, and you know God is. You know somebody made this, and nobody made him. Everybody knows that by nature. Somebody says, well, I'm an atheist. Well, you didn't start off an atheist. You might have shut the truth off because that's what you wanted to do, but nobody by nature is an atheist. We all know that somebody made this. Anything else is irrational. Somebody made this, and nobody made him. He speaks by nature, and he speaks by his word. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He speaks by his word. I'm so thankful for the word of God. I'm so thankful for the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every verse. Where would we be without the Bible? You'd be dependent upon somebody like me to tell you the truth. You'd be in trouble then, wouldn't you? Thank God we have the word. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now Nineveh, as I said, was the capital of Assyria. And I read where it was the largest city in the world at that time. You remember here at the end of this book when he said they've got 120,000 people that don't know the difference between right and left? I guess that's talking about infants or children that don't know the difference. So this was a city of probably millions of people.
And it was a 3-day walk to get through it. So that must have been 30 or 40 miles at least, as far as how large the city was. And the Lord told Jonah, go cry against that city because the wickedness of that city has come up before me. Now they would have been like the people described in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's what God saw when God looked upon Nineveh. Now, he says, you go up and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But, verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He didn't want to do this. God told him, go this way. He went that way. They're direct opposites. He went to flee from the presence of the Lord. Like, what did Adam do when Adam fell? He fled from the presence of the Lord. The scripture says there's one problem with that. Lord's omnipresent. You can't flee from him. You can't go anywhere where he's not. He's omnipresent. That's part of his glorious being. So Jonah, what he was doing was really quite stupid, thinking he could flee from the presence of the Lord. Somebody says, well, how could he have thought something like that? Same way me and you can. Same way. He was one of us. And he flees from the presence of the Lord. He does not want to do what the Lord told him to do. And we know it's because he said, I knew you were gracious, and I knew you'd end up having mercy on him. And that's why he was so upset. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But, verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The Lord sent this storm. Now, let me remind you, what he did was wicked, right? What he did was willful, right? Yet the Lord is going to bring good out of this. Do you know the Lord brings good out of everything? It doesn't ever excuse our sin in any way, but the Lord always brings good out of evil. We're going to be given, through his act of disobedience, we're going to be given such a clear type of the gospel. And then we get this story of his prayer from the well's belly, and there's so much good that comes out of this wicked act of Jonah. I'm thankful for that. Now, your sin and my sin is all our fault, and we can't ever try to take comfort. Well, you know, Lord, going to bring good out of it. That's our sin. But he does, because he's God, and he always brings good out of evil. And the most obvious reference to this is the cross. What's the worst thing to ever take place? The cross. What's the most glorious thing to ever take place? The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God brings good out of evil. So he sent this storm, and the ship's about to break up. I love that scripture. What manner of man is this that even the sea and the storms obey him? The winds and the sea obey him. I know what manner of man it is. It's God-man. He sends this storm, and everything that takes place, he sends. He really is sovereign. That means he controls everything and everybody and every event and every thought going through your mind right now. He's in absolute control of. He is sovereign. So he sends this storm. Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. That's what happens when people get afraid. They start praying. They didn't know what kind of God, but they start praying everyone to his God. And then they cast forth the wares that were in the ship, in the sea, to lighten it of them. I liken to this. When men get afraid, they start throwing stuff. I'm going to get rid of this sin. I'm going to get rid of that sin. Make it better for me. Somehow I can make it better. They started trying to lighten the ship. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Remember somebody else who was in a ship during a storm, and he lay there fast asleep? That's the Lord Jesus. And in this Jonah is a powerful type of Christ. And we're going to see that. Now let's go on. Verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." They were scared to death. And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. The lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. There's no such thing as chance or luck. This lot came out to discern that Jonah was the problem. Verse 8. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which made the sea and the earth and the dry land, the living God. The God you all are praying to won't do you any good. This is the God who rules." Then were the men exceeding afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Now, two or three things out of those verses. Number one, these men's trouble was because of what Jonah did. They were in a ship. They were getting ready to get killed. They were scared to death. And it was all because of the sin of somebody else. Now what this is talking about, when Adam fell, me and you fell. When Adam came into condemnation, me and you came into condemnation. By one man's sin, death entered into the world, and death by sin. When Adam fell, and when Adam was condemned, me and you fell, and me and you were condemned by what he did. Now, somebody is thinking, well, how could that be fair for me to be condemned by somebody else's sin? Well, let me say two or three things about that. Number one, forget your connection with Adam. How have you done on your own? Just forget Adam. How have you done on your own? You've been guilty. I've been guilty of great sin. So it wouldn't do you any good if you weren't connected with Adam's sin. But the fact of the matter is, Adam did what he did. Every one of us were in him. And when he sinned, I sinned. It's not like I'm really charged for somebody else's sin, because when he sinned, I sinned. I was in him. When he sinned, I sinned. Now, let me tell you what's good about this. If I could be condemned by being in a man, Adam, I can be saved by being in a man, in Christ. If I can be condemned for somebody else's sin, which is really mine, but I can also be saved by somebody else's righteousness. Let me show you that in Scripture. Hold your finger there in Jonah 1. Turn to Romans 5. Verse 18. Well, first let's read verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now that means when Adam sinned, I sinned, and you sinned. You would have done the exact same thing. Don't think you wouldn't have done it. Look in verse 18 of this same chapter. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men into justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." So here we see these men in this ship. God has sent the storm. They're in trouble. They know it. And they're in trouble because of somebody else's sin. Now let's go on reading back to Jonah. The lot fell on Jonah. They saw he was the problem. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for Whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence camest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? You know, I can't help but wonder why they're asking him all these questions. I guess, you know, it's Jonah hated the Assyrians, the people of Nineveh. They were Gentiles. Everybody's got all these hatreds of other people. And they're trying to find out what's the problem here. What have you done? They were thinking it's probably because of your ethnicity or the country you're from. Because everybody always, we're the best, everybody's the bad guys. And that's the way they were thinking. What brought all this on? Verse 9, he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. I fear the living God. Your God is not God. My God is. He's the one who made everything. Verse 10, then the men were exceeding afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. He said, I fled from the presence of the Lord. He told me to do this. I'm doing this. And that's why this storm is here. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. This storm was going on and they were scared to death. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Now there we have the gospel. If Christ is cast into the sea, there will be satisfaction. The tempest will be over. Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowing hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. Now, they didn't want to cast them into the sea right off the bat. They were doing everything they could to bring him into land and try to get the boat to land. But I guess finally they said, he's not worth this. This is not working for us. And so, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. They're believers now. They're believers now. They know who the Lord is. They're not praying to their false gods. They're praying to the God of Jonah. You know, here's another good that came out of Jonah's disobedience. These men would have never heard the gospel if it wasn't for Jonah being on that ship going to flee from the presence of the Lord. But through this, these fellows hear the gospel. And these fellows believe. You look who they're praying to now. They're praying to Jehovah. Not their false gods. They're praying to Jehovah. We beseech thee, O Lord, or Jehovah, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. They believed in the sovereignty of God. You see, anybody who knows the Lord knows he's sovereign. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. You're in control of this. They understood that. They understood who God is. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And what happened? The sea ceased from her raging. Now here we have the gospel. Christ dies. The wrath of God is over. Now that's the gospel. When Jonah was thrown in, the waves stopped. We're saved by the death of Christ. Now let me put an emphasis on this. Most people that go under the name Christianity, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't even like the word Christianity. I just don't. Yes, they were called Christians, but Christianity, you know, that's one of the world's great religions and all. I just don't feel comfortable with that. It's the truth. But most people that would say they are Christians, they believe that Jesus Christ died for all men and made salvation possible for all men. He died for everybody's sins. But they also believe that if there's something that you don't do that makes what his death work, if you don't accept him as your personal Savior, if you don't whatever, fill in the blank, you might end up in hell anyway. Now, all that does is make the death of Christ meaningless. Someone who believes that does not believe the gospel. Because the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, according to the Passover, according to the great day of atonement. Now, when Jonah went over, what took place? The raging stopped. When Christ died, all of the wrath of God was put away. My sin was put away. The raging ceases. So here we see what a type Jonah is of Christ. When he's thrown over, the raging ceases. Now listen to me. If Christ died for you, God is utterly and completely pleased with you. You have perfect righteousness. You do not have any sin at all. Now that's the gospel. He was thrown over and the raging ceased. Verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. And look what they're doing now. They're offering sacrifice unto the Lord. And made vows. I know what that vow was. I'm not going to worship that false god anymore by the grace of God. I'm going to look to Christ alone. And the only hope I have is sacrifice to him. They were actually offering up sacrifices to Jehovah. There was a great salvation that took place on this boat through this man leaving. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared. And that word is generally translated ordained. And the Lord had ordained, prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And the Lord tells us that that is the sign that he gives. When they said, give us a sign. And he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign, but there shall be no sign given it but the sign of Jonah. 3 days in, 3 days out. Speaking of his death, burial, and resurrection. But the Lord had prepared this fish. And I realize people say, well, how could that be? How could he survive? I don't know. But I love what Donnie Bell said. This is one of my favorite statements I've ever heard about the scripture. He said, if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. Then I would too. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God. And nothing's too hard for the Lord. And it would not be too hard to keep him preserved in that fish's belly for those 3 days. He did it. But what a reminder that God is God. And we're going to get to his prayer in chapter 2 next week. So if you have some opportunity, read that this week. And that's what we'll consider next week.